And I just appreciate Colin's willingness to, whenever I ask him, he's like, I'll do it. And I just appreciate what God is doing in your life, Colin, and just, I'm thankful I got to hang out with my kids this week on their break and just relax. So thank you for being willing to come and share this morning. And would you just help me? Let's pray for Colin. Lord, I just thank you for Colin and his willingness to serve you, his desire to serve you and walk with you. And God, I thank you for the word that you put in his heart. I just pray you'd speak through him and anoint him and strengthen him today in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Got a few things to get ready here first. So good morning and happy new year. I started this, I don't know why this happens, but I started this talk, this sermon, this whatever you want to call it, three different times. I've got a large amount for the first two times as well, but I did land on what I feel like God would have for us all this morning. Before I start, I would like to make it known that I haven't achieved the perfect status as of today anyways. Probably pretty close, ask my wife. I'm not sure about that, but when I was praying about what to speak on, like I said, I started two different things, but the third time was a charm, and I'm speaking on the gifts or the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And those gifts, as you know, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, and self-control. Or the word I like for that self-control, temperance. I don't know, it just sounds cool. And it says at in the start of that, the gift of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. And that's in us, in each one of us. And I think if we go to, I'm just going to sort of lead into it with a couple verses of Scripture. Start with Romans 6 and 16. It says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? And then in 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, it says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So when it says, and the fruit of the Spirit, that means we are part of that. We are one with him. And we did a gathering every week for a couple months not too long ago at different houses, and different people got together, and we discussed the fruit of the Spirit and went through each one each week. And very, very eye-opening and very can't think of the word. Anyways, makes you think about what is love? What is joy? What is peace? And how do you appropriate them in your life? Now, because this scripture is the fruit of the Spirit, it's not only true of the Spirit of God, it's also true of your spirit, of my spirit, if you're born again, because you are one with his spirit. Now, some people might think, yeah, well, some people have love, some people have joy, some people have peace, some people have temperance. No, this is the fruit of the Spirit, singular. The fruit is these nine different things. They are separate, but they're all the same thing. They're all part of the Spirit. It's like light, for example. You can take a prism and hold it up to the light, and as that light passes through that prism, you'll get a number of different colors, blue, green, red, yellow. You'll get all these colors, but it is still the same light. It's all the same thing. Those colors are all representing one thing, the light. And so it is with the fruit of the Spirit. In the Spirit, you can't go by how you feel or what it looks like in the mirror. But if you go by the Word of God, the spiritual mirror, this is actually what the spirit man is like, what you are actually like, who you are inside, who you are trying to be on the outside. You already are on the inside. In the Spirit, you have love. Not the world's kind of love where, I mean, people in this world fall in and out of love daily. And you'll hear, anyways, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8, especially, I think it's verse 6, talks of love, love enduring. Are you able to get that up there? It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. How many of you have heard, I just can't do it anymore. I just cannot trust anymore. I can't hope anymore. I've tried. I just keep trying and trying. Love never fails. Love always trusts. It always protects. It always hopes. It always perseveres. God's love never fails. So, if you're done hoping, if you're done trusting, if you can't persevere anymore, you aren't in God's love. We call that being carnal, carnally minded. God's kind of love is not emotional. It's not selfish. When Jesus hung on the cross, that was love. And it wasn't because he had goosebumps running up and down his arms and legs either. In your spirit, you've got God's supernatural kind of love. Most people are just waiting on an emotion. That is what we call being carnal. Now, I'm not saying that feelings are bad or wrong. I mean, we all get them. We all have them. But if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then we've got to make it line up. If we aren't feeling the love, whose fault do you suppose it is? If we aren't feeling His love, our feelings are wrong. God said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Whether we feel it or not, in your born-again spirit, you have love. God's kind of love. You've got joy. Well, now, just hold on. I don't feel like I have joy. Well, you do. In your spirit, you have it. Are you going to look at the way you feel and look on the outside, or are you going to turn your attention to the inside and listen to what the Word says about you? Paul has been going through Philippians in the past several months, and one verse that is very good, they all are, but Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." There's an exclamation mark on that second rejoice. And he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say, rejoice, like rejoice. Don't sit back. Don't allow your feelings, your sensual earthly feelings that you can see, taste, hear, feel, and touch. Don't let those dominate how you feel, what you are. If you will do this, if we will rejoice, it will draw the joy out of us. Rejoice. Now, I'm just sort of going back to my school days. My mother was a teacher. And so for those of you who didn't listen in English or whatever, I had to. So rejoice in this case is a verb. And a verb is an action word. Joy is a noun. And that name's a person, place, or thing. So if you will go ahead, speak to that mountain. If you will rejoice, open your mouth, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice in the situation you are in. If you will rejoice in that, you will bring the joy out. I can stand by that because I've done it. I'm not always on, as my wife will attest to. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." If we ponder on, meditate on, think about how bad things are going, we're going to believe, again, what we see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. But if we will turn our hearts back to the mirror of God's word, we will in actuality, as we put faith in him, be able to draw that joy out. Let me just say here that oftentimes we'll find as a norm that God works exactly backward to how we've been raised or trained or thought. For example, we must die to live. We give to receive. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us." So everything that we feel, if it's a money situation, if it's a fear situation, we try and deal with it with our sensual being. We try to say, "I need more money, I need more money, I got to get more money." When in actuality, the thing you should do if you need money is sow money. Again, I can attest to this. There was a point a few years ago where our business was not doing well. We were down to the last $500, and I was praying about it, and I felt that the only way to go forward was to give that last $500 away. And we did, and God blessed it, and our business picked right back up again. And the person that got it, it ended up being many-fold over what she needed and that she was praying for. So God's way of doing things is often forces us to get rid of ourselves. In the middle of our feeling no joy, we are to rejoice. When we do this, the joy will come. It's guaranteed. It's the word of God. It just works. That's the end of that story. We have all these things in our spirit. It doesn't matter how we feel. They are ours, always. These things never leave us. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." And that Holy Spirit of promise is literally sealed in each one of us. He is in us We are, I hear the saying, and I don't like it, but I hear the saying, I'm only human. That's not true. If you've accepted Jesus, if you're born again, you're one-third wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. You are Holy Spirit-led. He's guiding and directing us in all things if we'll let him. If you can understand what I'm saying, you'll realize that your spirit can't be depressed. It can't be downcast or feel rejected. Your spirit, your born-again spirit, is one with Holy Spirit. And love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control are all part of the Spirit in the same way that all the colors of the prism are all part of one light. If you aren't operating in these things, if we aren't operating in these things, we aren't operating in the Spirit, we're operating according to our feelings. And that's being carnally minded or living according to the flesh. And the word says in Romans 8 and 6, as most of us already know, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Each one of us would far rather live with life and peace. Again, if we focus on the rejection, the hurt, we don't give the Spirit a chance to give us peace. In the same way we draw out the joy, we can draw on the peace or the love or the self-control. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. If we will put our focus on Him, we would always have these things active in our lives. Rejoicing is key because it's voice activated. We must put sound to what we believe. Mark 11, 23, speak to the mountain. Speak to that thing in your life. Speak to that rejection. Speak to that fear. Speak to those things that don't allow you to be the man or woman of God that you're called to be. Speak to them. They will line up. James 2:26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We have to speak and act upon what we're believing. I can think just not too long ago of stepping out of my truck and landing wrong on my foot and my ankle going straight sideways with my foot pointing out this way. And a thought was, hit the ground and roll around, or step on it and say, you're healed. And I stepped on it and walked away. And it was pointing straight sideways. Are we going to operate in the Spirit, or are we going to operate in the flesh? If we will act on what the Word says about us instead of how we feel, in no time we will have what the Word says. We must refuse to let our feelings dominate us. And again, I'll say again partway through here, I haven't arrived. I don't know that I see the finish line even, but I haven't arrived. But I do know that the Word of God says this, and I do believe every word that's in it. There can be hurt and grief and pain and fear in your flesh at any given time. But even when you have these feelings, your spirit still has the fruit. And if you will turn to that, if you'll rejoice, if you'll turn to that spirit and say, no, I operate with the fruit of the Spirit, you will have it. I've got a story of I heard a testimony from a guy who had got a phone call at 4:30 in the morning saying that his son had been killed in a car accident. And so him and his wife jumped in the car and headed 45 miles, 45 minutes, to the morgue that their son was in. On the way there, he had all the natural feelings that you would have. Fear, grief, loss, overwhelmed. And partway through there, partway to the morgue, he started rejoicing and praising God. He said, I had all those feelings welling up in me, but I knew I could not let them out. And that's where the word says, take no thought saying, don't say those things that will cripple your faith. And he started rejoicing and praising as Paul did in prison. And he said, by the time we got there, I knew that I knew that I knew my son would be raised from the dead. And he got there, and he was in the freezer on a slab with a sheet over him, naked with a toe tag on. And when they opened the door, his son sat up and started talking to him. He'd been dead for over 4 hours, but he did not let that fear dictate what he was going to do or what he was going to say. Psalm 34:4-1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That was the scripture that he thought of as he was praising. Colossians 2:6-7 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. That's what happens when we're rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. As we establish ourselves in the faith, as we've been taught, we abound in faith. Faith abounds in us with and through thanksgiving. This all happened because he started going by what he had and what the word said about him instead of what he felt. We have to let the word of God direct us. What we have in the spirit lead us. We cannot give into the flesh or what we think in our mind. This is not the real us. The real us is the part that's born again. As I stand here saying this stuff, I can feel like, you're being a hypocrite. Because I don't always get it right. I'll have wrong feelings. And I'll react wrong in different circumstances. I may even want to fight. Or throw a fit. But that's just my flesh wanting its way. The real me and the real you, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it is what God says about you. The only way to make those two things line up, this and what God says about you, is to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way. And you know, I spent years knowing the Word of God, but not really reading it. Knowing that it was good. Knowing that. Is that still on? Yeah. Knowing that it was the way to live. And lived with some amount of victory for many years. But to be transformed and to become all that God wants us to be, all that he died for, all that Jesus died for, we must read his word and find out who we are. That's the mirror. It's like walking into the bathroom in the morning and looking at yourself in the mirror. You know what that person looks like. You know what you have to do when you look at it. Yeah, there's a little bit of work to do here. But if you'll use the Word of God the same way and look in there and see who you are and what he's done for you and what you have, you will become that person. you will become that man or woman of God that lives in victory, that is more than an overcomer. I can honestly say that even just studying this scripture the way I did, that it has changed me. But we all have to make a decision to not just be what our feelings tell us we are and to be. We are who God made us. He's got a plan for each one of us, a plan to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. But we have to look to Him for that. And if we're going to go on our feelings, we're going to fall way short, because our feelings are fickle. Not Dawn's, but... Let's pray. Heavenly Father,